May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 749. I hear a righteous man, a prophet good and great, in deep distress complain, and thus his grief relate. I call on God and cry and shout, but all my prayer he shutteth out. 749.
Let us read together from the Gospel according to Luke, and reading chapter 23, the 23rd chapter of Luke. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ a king." And Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "Thou sayest it." Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." And they were more fierce, saying, "He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place." When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. The same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and rulers and the people, said unto them, "Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of necessity he must release one of them at the feast." And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he said unto them the third time, "Why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." And they with instant and loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck.' Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' But if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry?" And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, "If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself." And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, "This is the King of the Jews." And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, but we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. And when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and just. The same had not consented to the council and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after, and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day, according to the commandment. May God be pleased to bless his word and help us to pray. O kind and merciful God, we would humbly draw near to thee and pray, Lord, that thou deliver us from vain repetitions, any form or natural approach to thee. But Lord, thou triest the hearts of all men. Thou knowest, Lord, the spirit in which we have come. Therefore, Lord, do come and deliver us, we pray, from every intruding spirit and thought which besets us round about. We ask thee, Lord, in thy mercy, thou wilt come, that we might feel thy presence here, that, Lord, we might know it, Lord, in our hearts, that, Lord, our worship here today may not be in vain, But Lord, rather it might be real. How we ask of thee, Lord, to hear the cries of many who've come, Lord, in the language of the hymn. Spirit of truth, come down, reveal the things of God, and make to us salvation known, and witness with the blood. O Lord, thou knowest how inadequate we feel to be, when we realize and consider we stand before never dying souls, either to live or to die. We pray, Lord, that in thy mercy, for the not for ability ourselves, but for the power of thy Holy Spirit. For Lord, this we know, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh, it profiteth nothing. Oh, that we might never forget this, Lord. For it does not matter what men might say or think, or what we might think ourselves. It is the Spirit that must perform thy work. And thou art able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we can ask or think. For Lord, we have even limited in our thinking and in our asking. And Lord, Satan tempts us. It is presumptuous for us to ask. Oh, drive him away. Drive him away and chain him down. For Lord, only thou canst do this. We pray, Lord, that thou'lt remember those who have fallen under the hand of sickness, Lord, in one way or another this day, and are unable to attend the means of grace. Lord, we pray that thou go with them and go unto them. Lord, may they have that twofold blessing. I am the Lord that healeth thee and forgiveth all thine iniquities. We earnestly pray, Lord, that thou wilt come and remember the dear children who gather here this day. And Lord, we thank thee that there are still children and young people who gather here. Oh, do come and work mightily in their hearts, that they might seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We ask, Lord, that thou would give to them unity and conformity unto the word of truth. Oh, Lord, we pray that thou wilt deliver them, from bitterness and anger one to another. For Lord, how this soon arises. Oh, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Lord, indeed, how quick we can cause a great fire. But Lord, who can put it out but thou? Oh, therefore, Lord, how we need thee in every aspect of life, in all our carelessness, our wretchedness, Lord. Oh, how we pray that we may be of one spirit and of one mind in Christ Jesus our Lord. But there we also ask of thee, that we might praise thee as we ought. Lord, oh, we often seek to pray and plead for mercy and compassion. And Lord, we feel to need it. But Lord, help me not much to praise thee for. For surely, Lord, if thou should meet us according to our deserts, what a terrible state and place we should be in. But still, O Lord, thou dost maintain a people here and keep the doors of Swavesey Chapel open. And we pray it may be so for many, many years. And we would thank thee, Lord, that it is so, and that the truth is still proclaimed and preached here. Oh, we would thank thee for this. And ask thee, Lord, that thou would help one, yea, to find that same liberty in preaching the same blessed truths, yea, within these walls. Oh, we do ask, Lord, we may not come in vain, but, oh, we might come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, that, Lord, there may be, oh, a few handfuls of purpose, oh, this day, for one and for another, that, Lord, which they shall not forget, that the Lord has remembered them in mercy and according to his word. O Lord, that they might say to many, come and hear what the Lord hath done for my soul. Come and hear, O ye that fear God, and I will tell you what the Lord hath done for my soul. We thank thee, Lord, that thy people here have been led and taught that thou art a God that hears and answers prayer. And Lord, when brought forth from the fiery furnace, may it be that, Lord, the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich may be with them, humbled under the mighty hand of God, and brought indeed to be not to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, we thank thee. O, do we not, that much prayer has been heard and much answered within these walls, and it is a living testimony to the generations to come. We ask thee, Lord, in particular, to be with the dear deacon of this cause. Thou knowest, Lord, we feel sorrow of heart that we do not meet this day. But nevertheless, Lord, we will still bear him up at the throne of grace and make him truly a pillar of prayer as thou hast in this place. For we read that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, so, Lord, we ask thee that thou wilt bless him indeed. And, Lord, oh, that we can humbly say, as our friendship lengthens, so it strengthens. And this, Lord, we will be thankful for. We pray it may not be an isolated case at Swavesey, but Lord, may it be with thy people here. O Lord, we ask thee to pardon and forgive all our sins and iniquity. We ask thee, Lord, to help us now to proclaim the truth. Help us, Lord, for remembering, Lord, we are but feeble and poor and needy. Oh, we need thy help. and, oh Lord, saying, our hearing appliances are out of action. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, and for his sake alone we ask it. Amen.
Hymn 315. Righteous are the works of God, all his ways are holy, just his judgments fit his rod to correct our folly. 315.
The Lord may be pleased to help me. I seek to draw your attention to the 23rd chapter of Luke and reading verse 40. The 23rd chapter of Luke, verse 40. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We have set before us here two men in dialogue, one with the other. And they have so much in common, one with the other. First of all, like you and I, they were sinners. But they were sinners in this sense, that they had been thieving and murdering in the city. And therefore, both of them were taken into custody. I say they had this, they both were the same in an equal place. They had thus been both condemned and put to death for their evil doings. They were both now nailed on the cross, suffering pain and much agony as they had been crucified. They both had only but hours to live, and they both were brought to face the righteous judge and a never-ending eternity. I say, how many of us are in that identical place? Though we're not transfixed upon the cross, what a great need there is, oh, to be delivered, oh, from death and destruction, because too we are sinners and have broken God's most holy law. But there was one difference between these two men, and there can only be one difference between the people at Swavesey here this morning. One was full of self-justification and belittled his sins and crimes, but I say the other was full of repentance. What is repentance? Let me first state this. Repentance comes with life within. When the Holy Spirit comes and quickens a poor sinner into divine life. How different to what some might think a born-again creature is. But no, this is the truth. And why does the sinner brought to repentance? Why? Because the Lord has shown to him his sin, his shame. he can view, like these two men on the cross could view, the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst, suffering for their sins. And therefore I say, what grief, oh what grief there is, when we find these things so abiding within us, as though ever been brought to say, was it for me the Saviour died? Oh, I say, was it for me? But the two, I say, there's this difference between. One was brought to love the Lord Jesus Christ. The other was left in his enmity and hatred to Jesus. And like the world today, so often they only want anything to do with Jesus that might benefit them in their life here below. My friend, so we would notice this difference between the two men. And surely this man in his dying hours, he preached a faithful sermon to his partner in crime. Yes, thus he said to him, dost thou not fear God? What a question then is presented before you and I, even this morning. This little question, oh, an immense question, a tremendous question. Dost thou fear God? And if we do, if we fear God, how are we living? And how are we carrying on? My friends, oh, what a need there is to ask this question again and again. The hymn writer puts it like this: am I made a real Christian? Am I ready to meet God? We know this, that many, we all shall come to our end and die. But what a difference there is between those who are born again, quickened by his Spirit, and those who are left destitute of the truth and die in the state of total depravity of which they were born in. Oh, dost thou not fear God? Am I right or am I wrong? Do I know the Saviour's love? Do I know indeed him? And I say, brought there to say, like the one thief on the cross, remember me when thou comest into the kingdom. Certainly, he did certainly fear God, this man. But I want to say a little more about the other. He did not fear God. And he was unmoved by his friend on the cross, rebuking him for saying, as he did in this chapter, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. See the way in which he spoke, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Did he fear God by saying that to Jesus? Do we fear God in our so-called prayers? Asking him to deal with us because we want to go on living and carrying on as we have done heretofore? Dost thou not fear God? Whatever indeed the Lord God might give to us in the things of this life, we still have to face a just and holy God. This man had an account, had he not? And so have you and I, an account that our God will keep, and God knows exactly. Yes, dost thou not fear God, seeing all our sins and all our shames are accounted for? Yes, whether we be believers or unbelievers, the Lord knows our sins, and he knows indeed our motive in approaching unto him. How important that is. Oh, may we try our own selves, even in coming to the throne of grace, asking the question, do I fear God in my coming? Or do I come simply for selfish motives, or God-dishonouring motives? I met a man a little while ago whom I was with in hospital, and surely he'd had a sore and sad time since then. And he said, I've given up praying. I said, why is that? Oh, he said, because the Lord, he doesn't care to answer my prayers and petition. I've told him what I want him to do. My friend, dost thou not fear God? The poor man, my friend, he thought he could tell God what to do. But I say, the Lord will not have that. He'll bring us there, pleading with him for mercy, asking him to do for that us what we cannot do ourselves. Dost thou not fear God, seeing I am put into the balances and found wanting? Has the Lord caused you to look at your own case and self of late? Oh, I say, to do a little bookkeeping and stockkeeping, and brought you to say, how stands the case, my soul with thee? For heaven are thy credentials clear. My friend, dost thou not fear God? How many pages in that book of yours is found in the red? In the red. Unpaid for. Why, I shall never be brought or able to pay for this myself. Who then can pay it for me? Dost thou not fear God? Still willing to go on and on, adding to thy account these many things? Or are you like so many people, saying, I'll see to that when I come down to die? Dost thou not fear God? Does he not take people away from time, or in split seconds, as we might say? And therefore, oh, nothing can be contributed to that account. Oh, I say, what a solemn thing it is. Yet blessed it be his name. There is such a thing as fearing God. And the Lord brings us to fear him. and brought to that place to say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This good man then, he did fear God. And see how he speaks to this other thief on the cross. And we indeed justly, we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. I say, if one fears God, they see a beauty in Christ. They see indeed there is an all-sufficiency in him that is able to deliver thy soul from hell. A beauty of glory, not that you can snatch unto yourself, but rather that you seek indeed that he might give it to you. Oh, I say, what a mercy to fear God. You may have been brought to tend the house of God all your life long. And what a wonderful thing that is, that God has seen fit for you to be born into a family that fear God. But that does not give you saving grace, does it? We should never, never indeed despise it, but chosen indeed to be placed into a family where the truth is heard. But what a solemn thing if that be so, and we shun it and turn our backs upon it, hate it and detest it, because it puts pressure upon me, yea, to do that I cannot do things that I want to do. You may have a guilty conscience when you do, but you still do not fear God. You only fear what the outcome, the ends might be. Oh, dost thou not fear God? Though thou hast lived all these years under the truth. We may love one another dearly in the ties of flesh, but I say without that fear of God, there'll be a solemn division, will there not? A solemn division in the time of death, will there not? Oh, I say, what a need there is for God to look down upon us. He said, dost thou not fear God? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. I say, what a change there was in this man. What had come upon him, he could not blame anybody else, but say, this is the due reward of our deeds. The wages of sin is death. Oh, I say, what wages is it that we have earned? And if God should cast us out of his sight forever, could we not indeed condone and say he is just and right in what he has done? Oh, dost thou not fear God? This man hath done nothing amiss. Now we need to remember this, how true those lines are that the thief spoke on the cross. He saw in Christ the perfection of holiness, and though he was suffering for sin, and that he verily was the Son of God, he was brought indeed to see that Jesus was the eternal Son of God so quickly, so powerfully. because he said, when thou comest into thy kingdom, dost thou say, remember me, when thou comest into thy kingdom? I believe the fear of the Lord brings us here to plead for the Lord for mercy and for compassion upon our soul, a belief in Christ, that God will only have mercy in and through the riches of his grace. He brings us here, I say, does he not, in one way or another, to look upon him as pure and holy. Why, he that has paid the price for the sins of his people, and those are brought to fear him in spirit and in truth. Yes, Jesus did not suffer in vain. He suffered indeed for sin. But what a difference between Jesus and the two thieves. They suffered for their sins. We suffer for our sins. But that will not exempt us from hell. We need indeed the Lord Jesus to pay that price for us. Because I say he suffered for the sins of his people. Oh, I say, what a wonder that is. The final destiny of these two men were totally different. The one thief, indeed, he did not fear God. And his destined place was to be cast out of God's sight forever, to be cast into that bottomless pit. And do notice those words, bottomless, ever a sinking. No hope or place of return. Ever enduring, ever suffering the punishment for our sins. On and on, all eternity. We cannot describe it. It has no bottom, it has no end. And I want to emphasize this. There's no place of return. When men speak of purgatory, that to serve a while and then to return to heaven, there's no truth in that. There's no hope in that. And God forbid that I should lead you down that pathway. For I would be nothing but a deceiver to you. No, but dost thou not fear God? When this, the other one cried unto Jesus, he said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. This day, I say, what a difference. Freed from every sin, free from every guilt. Yes, and there to dwell where sin can never come. To dwell as one pardoned and forgiveness of all their sins. This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. The word paradise is often misused and misplaced. Not that we want to go down that route, but I say paradise surely is the hope of every true child of God. I say, what a mercy that is. Oh, a desire to be freed from this world, the pleasures of it, the anxieties of it, the interests of it. Yes, that we might indeed lose all things and be found in Jesus Christ, as the Apostle Paul said to the Philippians, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. What a power that is. This dear man, he was brought to know it, was he not? You know, many might say of another's testimony, there wasn't much in it. It's very dubious, it's very doubtful, for after all, it was so short. What we forget, you know, there's no such thing as time with God. Time is something that is used by man, and therefore, whether by our measurements, our experience be long or short, the only thing that matters, that it is real, that it is real. When the Lord says to a poor sinner, thy sins are forgiven thee, friends, it's done instantaneously, that very moment, and the honour and glory will be to his great and holy name. Dost thou not fear God? We read, do we not, of those two first kings of Israel, why, Saul and David. We read that the spirit was taken away from Saul. It's a very trying thought, that is. When he disobeyed God and looked to his own interests, friend, he didn't fear God. And it uncovered the true place where Saul was. But when he says the Spirit was taken away from him, God placed him there for a purpose. He used him, and he gave him the ability in many things to help him to be king over Israel. But my friend, it wasn't saving grace that he gave him. How different, I say, to the spirit that he bestowed upon David. And you know, this man sinned, and he sinned grievously, did he not? Why, he committed adultery, did he not, with Bathsheba, and thought by sinning again and murdering her husband, he could cover up one sin. And it was a sin that he lived with without any conscience until the Lord sent the prophet Nathan to him. And he said, thou art the man. My friend, he feared God, my friend, feared his own state and condition. Oh, how you see in Psalm 51, his prayer and plea before the Lord. Create in me, O God, a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me. I say, dost thou fear God? Poor backslider, poor sinner, that thou art brought to say that before him. Renew a right spirit within me. Why, how often we have to plead that prayer. Such sins and transgressions that some might think are trivial. There's no such thing as trivial sin, is there? No, He brings us to that place. Oh, to say, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord, take this heart of mine and change it, Lord. Oh, make it soft, truly soft. Yes. Why, blessed be he is nigh him, if he brings us to fear him. But I want to come along a little bit here, because he says here, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. The Lord never forgets his people, does he? He never can forget them. And I'm sure this, that you who are in the eventide of life, you can testify to that, that he hasn't forgotten you or passed you by, but he has remembered you. And what does he remember us for? Because we've been so good, because we've walked uprightly, circumspectly before him. But no, he remembers us, my friend, because he has loved us with an everlasting love and ever proved faithful unto us. I have been speaking this morning of the contrast between one man and the other. But I say, look at the contrast between Jesus and the poor sinner. See, we mourn over our unfaithfulness, but just behold his faithfulness, a faithful Jesus, that he came according to the covenant of grace to suffer, to bleed and die upon Calvary. Faithfulness, friends. And when it came indeed to Gethsemane, we hear him say, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but thy will be done. I say, see, his faithfulness to God the Father and to his dear people in that covenant of grace that he was such an integral part of. I say, how faithful he is. The covenant of grace, my friend, was made for us, not with us. You might think, well, that's a very trivial point. Surely, does it matter? It matters a lot. It matters a lot. I like the words of the children's hymn book, in the old Clifton hymn book anyway, where it says, he knew how wicked men had been, and knew that God would punish sin. So out of pity, Jesus said he'd bear the punishment instead. My friend, the triune Jehovah, they entered into a covenant for poor, wretched, ruined man. Oh, remember me. Oh, that I might know that covenant that thou hast made for us. Because if the Lord had made it with us, that covenant would be broken. Broken. We can be sure of anything. So apt to fail. So apt to turn aside. Oh, so prone to seek the things of this life. Yes, therefore, oh, we would surely forsaken that covenant. But my friend, I'm speaking foolishly. God in his wisdom and understanding of us, friends, he knew indeed that it was beyond us to make a covenant now. Man was full of total depravity. He knew oh so well that we needed a saviour. Therefore God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, yes, that the poor sinners might be saved through the death of Christ. Oh, bless his dear name, that this is so. Dost thou not fear God, seeing he is a faithful Saviour, a blessed Redeemer? The Lord Jesus Christ, he came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Oh, may God in his infinite mercy bring us to repentance, that all our own thoughts and hearts might be changed. One might say, well, what is repentance? Repentance is to hate the sins that we once so loved, and in earnest prove by doing so no more. Friend, it won't do. It won't do. Like the thief on the cross, to own Christ 1 minute and then to abandon him the next. Repentance, I say, is this. We have to pray to God that we might be kept and preserved from going back to those sins and places where we once lived and dwelt in the past. To be like the sow that was washed, to go back wallowing in the mire, all in vain, all helpless and useless, all so vile, like the dog that returns to its own vomit. Some might well say, well, I don't like such vulgar expressions. Friend, not half as vulgar as we must appear in God's pure sight as poor depraved sinners. But blessed they be his name, that Jesus is the friend of sinners, and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it cleanseth us from all sin. Why, the dear man on the cross said, heard those wondrous words rather, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Was he not happy then? There must have been. Oh, a blessed prospect he had in mind. Or should I say this? His prospects had been completely changed. His prospects. But I say, did not Jesus know, even before he was put on the cross, that that poor sinner would be there? That Jesus sought him and brought him to him. Great mercy, is it not, that the Lord should so choose us and bring us to him? I have chosen you. Yes, we have not chosen him. Art not thou thankful that there's no such true doctrine as free will? Because if there was, we would still never have chosen him. Indeed not. We would have said, I will not have this man to reign over me. Oh, I say, how good the Lord is, that he changes our hearts, renews our will, and turns us again to himself for mercy and for compassion. Dost thou not fear God? Just another point before I leave the matter this morning, and it's this. We fear God and come to him and enabled to tell him. It gives us access at the throne of grace. There may be one soul here this morning bemoaning the fact the poverty of their own prayers. Well, I understand your feelings well. Poverty in our prayers. But my friend, the Lord has said that he will hear the groaning of the prisoner. You say, well, I don't understand the word they're saying. But Jesus does. But Jesus does. That's a wonder indeed, isn't it? Though you're unable to express yourself, though you're not eloquent, no at all, nor articulate either, yet I say he understands us. Surely he must understand that new heart that he has given the sinner. He understands the subject of it well. When thus they come, crying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. May the Lord bless these few remarks to you for his great name's sake. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £600, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Woodhams hopes to address the Sunday School this afternoon. Mr. Richard Field is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Robert Field next Lord's Day. Hymn 151. What slavish fears molest my mind and vex my sickly soul? How is it, Lord, that thou art kind and yet I am not whole? 151.
Thank you.
come, we pray thee, and pardon and forgive, or that thou hast found amiss within us. Lord, be with us in the afternoon, and if it is thy will, O do come, and be thou our helper this evening. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the teaching of thy Holy Spirit be with us now and for evermore. Amen.